I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ryan Silverfield is the University of Memphis football coach. Let's make him the Giant Interview.
Now, it's the Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Coach Silverfield, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Everything is going fine here on our end here. Look, we have a lot to get to with you today. Appreciate you joining us in advance of obviously your busy schedule coming up. I guess first things first. This is probably I don't think you would try to say that it was a season that you necessarily expected to go the way it did. But now that the regular season is in the books, what's just your assessment now that you've had a couple of weeks to think about it and decompress?
Yeah, look, obviously nobody's happy about the record we currently sit at, and it starts with me, and I'm disappointed. I've got to be better as the head coach, and there's a lot of areas to improve. We start off 3-0, and we always have high expectations. Obviously, the season didn't go as planned, right? I'm not going to sit here and make any excuses. We played 28 freshmen and redshirt freshmen. We had 47 players miss one game at least with an injury, but we've got to be better. And that's my job, is to continue to develop our guys, put us in the best situation to win games. But the good news is I think we got a very bright future. I think we're doing things the right way. Our guys continue to believe. I think anybody that watched our games would say, well, at least those kids, they kept fighting and believing and working together. And, every single one of our games, with the exception of one, where you got to be able to watch our guys battle for all four quarters, and that's the exciting part. We got the right type of young men. We're going to continue. I'm on the road recruiting as we speak, and trying to continue to find Tigers that are going to do it the right way to put us all continue on the map and have success.
Yeah, what was the key to that part of it, Coach? Because there was an opportunity, I guess, for guys to sort of say, I'm going to let go of the rope, or maybe I'm going to get out here. We had Calvin Austin in here last week, and they talked to, he talked about it, talked about for those players, that bowl streak, keeping that thing alive. Did you sense at any point, was it a speech? Was it constantly talking to them in terms of keeping them together for that and for accomplishing that goal? Okay, at this point, let's make it to a bowl. What was the key to that, to them not letting go?
Yeah, Jason, look, credit to the guys. I mean, they should get all the credit. But I do believe, it wasn't a magical speech. It wasn't a rah-rah deal. It was just we've kept a constant message of it's always got to be about the team. It's got to be about, continue to work and continue to fight and believe. And that's the one thing I can tell you. It didn't matter if it was after the Mississippi State win or after the UTSA loss. Our guys have continued to work and believe and care about each other and love each other and put the team over me aspect. And has it always been pretty in the final result of the score? No. But, you guys had Calvin in, and without a doubt, these guys believe and they love this program. And we're so fortunate, did we execute at the level we need to? Heck no. But that's what's been fun, is I didn't sit there every once and say, oh gosh, we lost the locker room, or they're blaming each other. There's no finger point. It was, okay, let's continue to work. And that was awesome. You stand in front of the team in a team meeting or after a win or after a loss and look at their eyes, and they care so much, and that's what's been such a pleasure.
I don't think you guys went into this off season expecting Seth Hennigan to be the starting quarterback. Obviously, you guys brought Grant Gunnell in here for a reason, but circumstances forced that issue, and after getting the job, I think everybody would agree you really made the most of it. How do you just, assess the job that he did as a true freshman, 6 300-yard games, as composed and as poised as he was several times throughout the year? How do you just reflect on the job that Seth did in a tough situation as a true freshman?
Yeah, John, I think, anytime an 18-year-old is called upon to be a starter, it's a very, very difficult task. And starting quarterback at the University of Memphis has to be as well-rounded as any individual in this country. And you say, what the heck do you mean? Well, they've got to be able to understand. They got to be a leader. They got to work harder. They have to understand this complex offense. They've got to be tough. They got to be liked by their teammates, all those things. And for a true freshman to come in, grab the bull by the horns and say, okay, I got this, with great confidence, you know, never too high, never too low. Has he been perfect? Heck no, right? I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he needs to, you know, help out on those interceptions and do a better job of locating the football. But he's been banged up. He's tough. He cares. He's smart. You know, for a kid to understand that and then come in and guess what? It's not like we're sitting there holding him back with what we do offensively. He gets it. And so, quite pleased. You know, I don't think anybody can come in and say, wow, well, he's not going to be very good or he doesn't have a bright future. I think it's the exact opposite. And people are saying, wow, well, that's good. And that's a wonderful thing. You look at our quarterback room, people are going to say, okay, there's some options now, and we're going to continue to build that room because we know how important that position is.
You know, and that sort of leads me right to my next question. Your job, you know, and the job of the head college football coach has changed a little bit in the last 12, 24 months, because now it's not just about recruiting a kid out of high school and developing him once he gets here. It's also basically about re-recruiting him again, because there is such thing as a transfer portal, and now there is no penalty upon that first transfer. So, you know, when you do look at that quarterback room, Seth Hennigan, the year that he had, Grant Gunnell, obviously talented quarterback. You've got incoming guys like Tevin Carter here from Memphis. How are you navigating Seth and Grant, and just sort of take us through the process of how you expect this to go for your quarterback situation at Memphis?
Well, look, you know, I think we all realize that college athletics, especially college football, is a completely different animal than it was two years ago, right? I'll be the first to say, and I've talked, you know, whether it's, you know, Coach Norvell and I ran into each other out of town a couple days ago. The jobs of a college football head coach have changed dramatically, you know, over the last 2 years, and even more so this past year in this offseason, right, with this transfer portal. You know, I mean, it's unique. You hear about coaches walking across college campuses of a team that they may play to go talk to a student athlete that's in the portal that they may have coached against 2 months prior. It's just a very different deal. But I always feel like this. It's not necessarily re-recruiting our current players. It's about building relationships, and that's not coach speak. That's the reality of this, right? We have a certain niche we have at Memphis, a culture that we've been able to create, and we're going to work hard. We're going to do it the right way. We care about academics. We care about the way we treat other people. We're going to live right socially. And guess what? Maybe that's not for everybody. But as long as I'm the head football coach here, there's going to be certain standards that we're going to uphold. And a lot of guys like it. Obviously, some guys will leave because they don't want the competition. But that's the nature of where we're at. So it's not necessarily about re-recruiting. It's about holding our players accountable, loving them, caring about them, making sure that they are having success on and off the field, and giving them everything we could possibly offer them here at the university. And guess what? Most of our guys understand that and appreciate it and have found a great home at Memphis. So, again, for me, it's about just continue to build those relationships. And that's part of my job. You know, I can't sit behind my desk and just watch film all day. It's about continue to be around our guys as much as I possibly can.
Those guys that can get taken away from you in a transfer portal, I'm just asking you, Coach, is that something where you trust? You just talked about that relationship with them, that those guys are going to come in and tell you, and, hey, maybe even give you a chance. Look, hey, well, yeah, don't be thinking about that, because here's what we've got here. Don't forget about this. Or, you know, or is it something that you don't even give them that chance? I'm checking in with you every day on some of those guys that you know you want back. Is that a daily process?
Yeah, I do think it is. I mean, there are quite a few of my guys. I'm on the road recruiting, so I can't be there. And, you know, the 117 guys, I can't go tuck each one of them in bed at night, even though that may be the direction we're one day heading. I do think that's part of it, just checking in, make sure we're touching base. But the reality of it is we want guys that want to be here, and it's near impossible, right? We've seen it at every school. There's guys that have absolutely tremendous relationships with their position coach, their head coach, and they just want a different opportunity, whether it's closer to home or somebody offers them NIL, which technically you're not supposed to in the recruiting process, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they want to try a different conference. Maybe they care about playing time. There's a variety of reasons. I have always asked our guests to come and have the opportunity to speak to me. I've been pretty blunt about this whole deal. You know, I've never publicly come out and thrown a player off the team and told the media, hey, I got rid of this guy. I just tell them, hey, the nice thing is you can just go click a button, and then the media will come out and say, well, Ryan Sorfa lost another player, and I just take it, and I won't say anything unless a player obviously publicly embarrasses the university. So I always think that's pretty interesting to to fathom. No one ever says, well, you haven't thrown a kid off the team in 2 years. Yeah, that's fine. So that's where we're at. But look, it's a different, unique deal. It's no different, right? I've got to go and look and see, okay, where are there some holes in our roster? It's roster management. I used that word 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, and everyone looked at me sideways. And it was part of my introductory press conference that we're just going to turn into roster management. You know, I may have a super senior that says, Coach, I'm going to come back for an extra year. Well, if I wouldn't account for him, well, then I got to find a way. And the NCAA is now allotted where if you lose up to seven transfers, you have the ability to replace seven of those in your initial. So now, instead of signing 25 initial scholarships, now you sign 32. And what does that look like? You know, and it's a unique thing for sure.
You know, we're in that time of year now, right? Like the coaching carousel is going on and guys are entering, you know, the transfer portal. And look, I think net, it is the right thing. You know, these are college athletes. They should be allowed the opportunity to make decisions without being penalized. But I also get that there's another side of that coin. So how frustrating is it, right, for you? Because you're a coach, and ultimately you're going to recruit some of these players too. You have to be an advocate for them having freedom of choice. But also, like, damn, you know, I find you, I identify you, I develop you, and I might lose you through no fault of my own, but because, you know, a bigger conference, a Power Five, a situation opens up, and there's really nothing I can. So just how frustrating is that balance for you to find as a head coach at a place like Memphis?
Yeah, look, I think every place is dealing with it. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're at a school that won the national championship last year and it's a starter that, you know, his position coach left for a job in another place and he's no longer happy or he doesn't like his new coach. It's occurring all throughout college football. So for me to sit here and get frustrated and angry and say, oh, this isn't fair. Look, you talk to any college head football coach and we're battling different things than we battled a year ago because you can wake up in the morning and your roster can look differently. And now all of a sudden you've got different holes to fill at different positions. So that it's a reality of what it is. And whether it's at Memphis, Notre Dame, LSU, Hawaii, it doesn't matter. You're still dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds that have the ability to make decisions that feel like it's going to fit them. And, yes, the freedom to do what they want is great. I also think we're in an interesting spiral for college football because this is not sustainable, right? If Team X loses 30 kids to the transfer portal but can only replace a certain number, well, they'll never be able to make that up, you know, or a school loses a coach that decides to take a different job and he decides to take 20 of those guys with him. Well, then the next guy that gets that job, it's going to take 3 years just to rebuild. And then the only way you can simply rebuild is by providing transfers and then high school recruiting. Now I'm on the road and I'm in these high schools and these coaches are saying, nobody's recruiting our kids. They're just waiting to find the quick fix in the portal because very few colleges are going to have the opportunity to say, okay, you have time to develop your players. You've got time to do it. I mean, look, we played 28 freshmen this year, and I'm sure the media was all over my butt, rightfully so. Well, you need to win right now. I get it, sure, and nobody wants to win as much as I do. But we're also trying to build something here and continue to sustain the right way with the right type of young men.
What's key to getting that run game, Coach, where you expect it to be? I know you'd look at last season and say, not where I expected. What's key to that? The backs, the offensive line itself, you experienced some injuries up front there, but I know it's not been at a level you expect to be, and you're an old run coach guy. What's got to change there?
Yeah, Jason, look, I banged my head through cement walls trying to figure out this run game deal. I don't think I've changed dramatically as a being able to scheme up run game. You know, I've been very fortunate to be a part of some of the best at both levels in college and in the NFL. And it hadn't been going the way we want. And, you know, that's my job is to make sure we get it. But without getting too much coach speak, look, we had five NFL running backs in 4 years. We've got great running backs, but, you know, those guys that are in the NFL are absolutely dynamic. And that's not saying that we don't have those guys on our roster. We got to continue to do a better job blocking up front, you know, scheming. And it comes to it, right, the point of attack with wide receivers. Anthony Miller, you go back and watch his film, Anthony Miller is one of the best run-blocking wide receivers I've been associated with in a long time. And, you know, you look at, you know, Sean Dykes, fantastic tight end. Love him to death. But he's also, you know, 6'1", 217 pounds. And so maybe at the point of attack at tight end, now he does a great job. He'll fight tooth and nail. So, a combination of so many things that led us down there. Now, teams are also playing one high safety. So sometimes you'll say, well, why are we throwing the ball more? Well, this RPO world, you know, if the quarterback's making the right read and they load the box, well, then it's got to be a quick throw or whatever it may be, or the safety's down the box. And so, you know, we either got to throw a different route combination off of that safety or hand the ball off and know that we got to make that safety miss. And if we don't do it, well, therefore you're getting a 2-yard gain instead of a 20-yard gain.
We are, of course, talking to University of Memphis football coach Ryan Silverfield here on the show. He's out recruiting now on the road now, and then he's off to the Hawaii Bowl later this month. I got to tell you, I've never seen somebody sound so sad to be going to Hawaii. It's ridiculous. What's up with you, man? I mean, it's fun for everybody except the head coach. You're going to friggin' Hawaii. You're not going to Birmingham, dude.
Well, I did get your text and asked if you could join us on the plane for media obligations. Mm-hmm.
I'll be on the wing, brother. All right, I will come on the wing if I have to.
Yeah, it's amazing the number of people that come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, I'd love to be there to support your team. I said, well, where were you at the Tulane game? You know,
that's right.
That was down the street.
I like it. Hold people accountable. You know, you want to go to Hawaii, you got to sit through Tulane. That's right.
Right. It's, look, I'm really excited for our program. Let's call it what it is. It's not your usual bowl, right? It's
yep.
It's a wonderful opportunity for our players to be able to go do something, experience something that most of them have never been able to do, including myself. I'm excited. It's obviously a fantastic bowl game and atmosphere, and it's going to be a lot of fun and enjoyable. You know, look, it's my job is to make sure that I prepare the team to go out there and get the win. But I also understand, look, they deserve this. It has been a trying season.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, it's well-documented adversity, and that's – but I've been pleased with their effort. We got to go out there and work and find a way. But no, it's look. I'm very happy for the players and the coaches' families, and we'll find a way to enjoy it at some point.
Yeah,
I don't get in the water.
Yeah, just try, man. Just try. And then last thing, we had Calvin Austin III in studio last week, and you know he mentioned that he's been hobbled, and I know you know that, and he's sort of deciding still whether or not he's going to participate in the bowl game, and that remains to be seen. But just being around him for as long as you have and just seeing sort of his rise as a player, you know, how much of an ambassador has he been for your program and just what has he meant in his time there at Memphis?
100% everything to this program. I mean, you know, the young man, you think about his story, comes in as a 144-pound walk-on wide receiver, and to be able to develop himself to get better, to be able to be one of the top wide receivers, top playmakers in all of college football, to get the Senior Bowl invite, to be a first-team all-conference unanimous, to end up being an NFL draft pick, who got an academic, you know, recognition last year, just absolutely everything you could ever ask for in a young man, tremendous ambassador, not only to the football program, the university, but also our great city.
Coach, we always appreciate the time. It's good. You got one more, Jason?
Coach, real quick, how's Cincinnati? First group of five.
Well, yeah, I mean, I figured we were going to talk Raiders and Bears for about the next hour. So.
No need for that.
You don't need to talk Bears. That thing's a hot mess.
You don't need to talk about the Raiders either.
But Cincinnati versus Alabama, you're the perfect person to ask. Like, how do you think that's going to go, first group of five at that point? And is it a deal where it's like, congratulations, Cincinnati, now, you know, screw you, because there is a little bit of a rivalry there and they're moving on. Are you pulling for Cincy, and what do you think that game will be like?
Yeah, look, first off, I got friends at both staffs, and credit to Cincinnati. They've done it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They deserve to be where they're at, and they deserve all the credit. In reality, you know, it's hard not to pull for them. They're in our conference. I want to see them do good things. They've got a ton of talent. Thank goodness that talent is all. Now, they've got a talented, deep roster that will continue to develop, but I'm glad a lot of that those guys are going to the NFL after that those games. But, you know, Coach Figgle and his staff have done a great job. Look, I don't think anybody's going to sit there and doubt Cincinnati. I can promise you that. I don't think you watch their game versus Georgia, you watch what they've been able to do versus Notre Dame, and I think everybody realized, holy cow, this is some legitimate talent, and done the right way, they can compete with anybody. So I expect a dogfight. You know, I mean, you look at what they've been able to do throughout the last few years and the players they've been able to acquire. It's going to be a heck of a game.
Have you already spent that money that you're getting as a result of the payout? Have you already said, okay, this is where this money needs to go? You know, I think the conference gets $6 million. You know, for Cincinnati being, have you already spent that money in your head?
Yeah, I'm sure the president and the athletic director are getting to put it actually directly probably in my pocket.
Absolutely, that's where it needs to go.
Yeah,
that's exactly where to go.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Speaking of ambassadors, you two have always been my favorite. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all, but no, we're it's great for the conference, and it's be great for the university. And so, I just think it's just what it does is also, you know, I can go into a home tonight and say, you know, and some will say, well, you know, we're a Power Five, you don't need to go there. And I say, well, that's good, but I'm glad that we get to, you know, our conference can be represented and play in Alabama in the playoffs. So it makes it a lot easier.
Well, Coach, we always do appreciate the visits. We appreciate the time. And hold on to Seth for us. We look forward to a sophomore season from Seth at Memphis. And appreciate the time,
thanks
as always.
Time,
thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. You are the best. And go Tigers.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, University of Memphis football coach. Good stuff from him. You know, I think that, you know, it's some honest talk, some real talk from him. Obviously, some frustrations from this season. I don't think he ran from those, and he knows like there are certain things that have to be addressed and held on to. And most importantly, it starts with quarterback. So it sounds like he knows the situation there.
He's got plenty on his plate. Run game, defense got to be better.
Yep.
But none of that will matter if you don't have the right guy
that's
under
exactly
center,
right,
and if everybody's after Seth Hennigan.
Yep.
So
yep,
you heard him. That's like a daily thing.
Oh, yeah.
To check on him.
Oh, no doubt.
That's exciting, though, right? I mean, that getting the quarterback right is
look,
what?
Look, you bring Seth Hennigan, if you bring Seth Hennigan
the
back,
things,
then
yeah.
I mean, there's honestly, they could compete, like in the AAC.
They could compete last year, having the second worst run game in the AAC.
Yeah,
so that's
they
it.
Competed.
You just got, you,
but Seth, they need to compete at a higher level than what they've been.
That's right.
And I think Ryan Silverfield understands that for sure. 6-6 is not the standard at the University of Memphis anymore. It's just not.